Morning, birds. How's it chirping? Birds, we have a birthday today. You ready? It's the Queen's birthday. It is. Queen of England. Want to hear a little love song that I had the band whip up? You ready? Here we go.
Gotta get a belly full of wine. My Majesty's a pretty nice girl. Someday I'm gonna make her mine. Oh yeah, someday I'm gonna make her mine.
Maybe a theme. Good morning from Chicago. It's 5 after the hour. It's Pirate Radio from Chicago. It's Gary Lee Wright. Today is the 21st of April, a Wednesday. And all right, from Reuters, and then we'll leave it there. Dateline Minneapolis. Americans anxiously awaiting a verdict in the trial of Derek Chauvin reacted with jubilation and relief yesterday after a jury found the former Minneapolis police officer guilty of murdering George Floyd during an arrest last May, guilty on 3 counts. Elation over the trial's outcome, capping nearly a year of social upheaval, racial tensions, and political strife stroked by Floyd's killing was tempered by calls for a continued fight against inequalities pervading the U.S. criminal justice system. And there you go. A system which, by and large, was a product of people my age and my race. And we now find ourselves in a new era of opportunity. How about that? I hope that we think all the things through here. It's not just the racism; it's the training people get. It's who are the police officers, and on and on and on. Anyway, no editorial comment. I think you know what you know. I'll say this: if you've got a comment, I will. I'll play anything audible. I really will. It's 844-220-3300. That applies to anything that we do on the show here. Call us up and let us know what's cooking. Also, it's radioanything@gmail.com. All right. Okay. Now, should we turn on the lights a little bit? Let's do it. Today, we're gonna grow some plants. Huh? Well, you don't get this from conventional radio. We joined my old friend, actually, Mike Novak. I used to work with Mike at WGN here in Chicago. Mike is a gardener of great distinction and is the host of a thing called Let's Talk Gardening. We're going to do that this morning. I know nothing about plants except apparently how to kill them, so we'll tune up with that today. And also, you know what? Tomorrow is Earth Day. I remember, wow, the clock is ticking. I remember the first Earth Day. I was in college for that. I think it was, I haven't even looked this up. I think it was 1970. Anyway, the anniversary is tomorrow. We'll do something I'm really looking forward to. You remember Diane Fossey and the gorillas, all that stuff? All right, we're going to talk to the person who is the CEO and actually also the chief science officer of the Gorilla Relief Fund. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Very interesting. You know what? We're going to talk. I'm having trouble talking to people. We're going to talk to animals as much as we can. So that's popping tomorrow. It is Queen Elizabeth's birthday today. Yeah, she is. You know, it's funny. Every time we go overseas, New Zealand, for example, Australia, I'm reminded that the Queen is the Queen of the Commonwealth, and she's on all the money wherever you go, Canada. Elizabeth is the Queen of the United Kingdom and 15 other Commonwealth realms. She was born in Mayfair, London, as the first child of the Duke and Duchess of York. Her father ascended the throne on the abdication of his brother King Edward VIII in 1936. Boy, all these things have been covered by so many movies. The King's Speech comes to mind. Anyway, you know, she's a controversial figure. At 96, did I mention that? Wow, 96 today. The movie that I think spoke to me most was a movie called The Queen, where she was played by Helen Mirren. See that? And it took place during that period of time when Princess Diana had been killed, and they were dealing out whether or not to put up the royal flag over Buckingham Palace. And anyway, that was about the first time I thought, you know what, this woman probably has, she has a job to do. So anyway, happy birthday to Queen Elizabeth. And shall I say it one more time? The Beatles.
I want to tell her that I love her a lot, but I gotta get a belly full of wine. My Majesty's a pretty nice girl, someday I'm gonna make her mine, oh yeah, someday I'm gonna make her mine.
And back here in the States, here's Curtis Mayfield.
We gotta have peace to keep the world alive, and what
fantasies. We gotta have joy. True in our hearts, but strength we can't destroy. People hear us through our voice. The world knows there's no choice. We're begging, save the children.
Starters on Curtis Mayfield. Gotta have peace. Fifteen after the hour, it's Pirate Radio from Chicago. It's Gary Lee Wright and my colleague Aaron Mittens join us. And there he is right now. Aaron, hello.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, you've been in the studio. You're not here today. You'll be here more often as we don't lock down. I cracked the window, you know, in the back with a microphone so we can talk to the birds. And I don't know, somebody just, it's like in real time, it's 15 after 9 in the morning, or somebody is cooking something that is, it's just not breakfast. I don't know what it is. It just wafted through. So, I don't know, maybe there's like an unscheduled something here.
Like a barbecue?
I wish.
A little snowing this morning. Right.
Was it really? Get out of here. Was it where you were? No kidding.
Yeah, I saw a little few drops coming down.
Oh, Lord, we had I was watching the Cubs game on TV for a couple of minutes last night. It was like 36 degrees. Yeah. Wrigley Field. So yeah, anyway, so we have a host of interesting news here. Hey, this gives me a chance to play some pirate ambiance. Want to hear some pirate ambiance? Let me see where this is. Here we go. Yeah, that's the... we're going out to the pirate ship there, Aaron. Near the peg leg. Yeah. I don't think this boat is insured. Sounds like...
The first profession to have talking animals.
Boy, don't tempt me, man. I'd get a parrot in a New York second on my shoulder, on this show. So, they found a... This is the stuff that dreams are made of. They found buried treasure.
Yes, yes. So this is connected to the infamous pirate Henry Avery. He was part of the world's most wanted criminal, actually. If you Google world's most wanted criminal, he shows up first. So he became infamous because he was a murderous English pirate who plundered a ship carrying Muslim pilgrims back from Mecca. And then he took some coinage and whatnot. Then he escaped posing as a slave trader, and he was never found again. But recently, Jim Bailey, an amateur historian, found some 17th century Arabian gold coins in Middleton, England, and they traced it back to Henry Avery.
Huh.
That's where he must have gone.
That's low. Ripping off people coming back from Mecca. Jeez. Yeah. I mean, you gotta... I want to bring up the pirate sound right here. Now, those are good pirates there, Aaron. All right, those are not the bad pirates. Wow. I'm guessing you don't know the answer to this offhand. Who gets the money? Where does that gold go?
Yeah, so apparently, I think Jim Bailey, the historian, he gave it to a university in England. So I guess, unfortunately, they're going to have it for now.
Yeah.
He may invest in some Bitcoin. Who knows?
18 after the hour. This is Aaron Mittens, the news bearer and our news director. Also, you told me that Russia is going to pull out of the ISS. Damn it. There goes all that technology and that knowledge that they, not to mention the vodka. So what's the story? That's the International Space Station, right?
Yes, International Space Station. So Russian Deputy Prime Minister Yuri Borisov, he said, quote, "Lately, reports about technical malfunctions have been coming more often. In order to avoid any risk in case of accidents, it's necessary to carry out technical inspection of the station." So he's basically saying the thing is falling apart, so we're gonna ditch now.
What a crybaby! Come on, you wimped out there. Wow. Okay. Do you think that's really what he? Do you think that was the real reason?
I think that this is a new stage in China and Russia joining teams. You know, we talked about them building a moon station in orbit and on the surface of the moon. So I think this is kind of a new step in that direction. They may have a new station around the Earth.
This is like a big board game. You know, when I was a kid, they had all these various, I don't know, I used to play it like Risk. You probably saw Risk and things like that. But it's really now, it really is the Russia, the Chinese, and us. You think, kind of? I mean, it's a three-way game now.
Oh yeah, pretty much. The UAE, Arab Emirates, they're up there, but they don't have as much legwork.
Right.
Kind of like putting things in. For instance, Russia already has a few capsules on the moon with supplies for when they're ready to start the construction. They already have satellites in orbit around moon and around Mars. So the UAE doesn't have that legwork. So yeah, it's going to be a three-man race, it seems like.
And here's I don't know. I don't even know what I'm asking you here. Helicopters require airfoils. Mm-hmm. The thing that goes That's an airfoil. You know what that is?
Right.
Just it's like the shape, like the same as a wing of an airplane. So, but there's no atmosphere on Mars. I didn't think. You know where I'm going with this? Did you wonder about that?
There is very little atmosphere on Mars. So it's really hard to think about. So it's very dense, but it's light simultaneously. So the molecules that the atmosphere is made of are dense, but there are fewer of them. So when you talk about this this helicopter on Mars, they had to have carbon fiber wings that were like a few grams each. The rover had to be like very, very, very light. And it rotated so fast that you couldn't even see the individual rotor. So they had to do some extreme engineering to do that.
Okay, but all right, good. I'm glad you straightened that. I don't want to be Mr. Science Nerd here. I remember the first and probably the only thing my father taught me. I drew a picture of a spaceship with wings, and he said, you know, they don't need wings in space. So and after that, our relationship deteriorated. But right there, you know, he was informing me. So, all right. Go ahead.
If you think about how a bumblebee flies, it's not necessarily using its wings for lift. It just makes low pressure above it, and then it just kind of moves into that low pressure zone.
Okay.
It's kind of what they were going for.
Okay. Jeez. I hope people that listen to us are not driving, because we take them places that they probably don't necessarily.
My grandma listens to us in bed.
She listens to us in bed?
Mm-hmm.
Grandma? What's her name? Or, I mean, grandma, you call her mama? What do you call her? Nana? Nana?
Yeah.
Nana? Okay. Nana? Is that right?
Yeah, Nana.
Nana! Good morning. I had a Nana. I'm a Nana. We'll try to... Are we trying to wake her up or put her back to sleep, you know?
Day to day.
So, you and I are, and I want to play a disclaimer. We do not own, and at least I don't, own any Apple stock. And we have a lot of Apple equipment here. That was a superior technology. I know you and I are both Steve Jobs fans.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, so Apple had this big, what do you call it, an event, big trade show, where they're bringing out everything from, I think it's the iPhone 12, to some jazzy new iMac, to a technology. This isn't new in this thing, but it helps people find their, it's a key thing, right? You know what I'm referring to? You must have seen some of this.
Yeah, I saw the whole event. I religiously watch every single Apple event.
meaning you pray when it comes on?
I face east.
Did you want all that stuff? Did you want every item?
So, yeah. So on this event, they had the new iMac. They had the AirTags, which are these little... I have this little tile here. This old thing, about like an inch wide, but it keeps track of your items. You can attach it to things and it uses Bluetooth. But AirTags, this isn't the newest, coolest product that they released. And it's kind of, I was trying to think of how to explain this as simply as possible. Because it's not just an individual product, it's like a mesh network with every Apple device. So for instance, say there's an AirTag that someone has, and they leave their, attached to their bag, they leave it somewhere on the sidewalk. If you walk past it with your iPhone, even you may not know it, your phone is going to automatically connect to that AirTag and then send up to the cloud the location of it. So every single person that has an Apple device is going to be involved, whether they like it or not, in this new mesh network. So and they're trying to keep your privacy secret. But if you lose your phone, if you lose one of these AirTags, you lose your MacBook, anybody with an Apple product walks by, you'll be able to get notified where it is, even if it's not connected to the internet.
How often have you lost your phone in your life?
I can't tell you the last time I went an hour without my phone in hand. So not much.
What's my point? Well, exactly. Okay, I'm saying you just held up this thing that's the size of like a, it looks like a wheat thin. It's a plastic wheat thin, and I'm trying to remember why we want those, but apparently, for people that lose their phone or their laptop, how do you lose something? Anyway, go ahead.
Right now, you have Find My iPhone. That's an app you can use.
Right, which I have.
The same mesh network that we're talking about. So this is basically for, like, if you want to put it on your book bag or on your keys or in your spouse's car, or you know, that sort of thing. That's basically what it's for.
But Aaron, if you lose your book bag, mm-hmm. it's over, right?
It was. It was. Now we have Apple to save
us. Oh, God. It's 25 after the hour, 9:25 in real time in Chicago. Aaron, my favorite movie is, one of my favorite movies is called This is Spinal Tap. You ever seen that movie by chance? It's fabulous.
I have not.
All right, you got to check it out. This is Spinal Tap. It's a riff on a failing rock band. And there's a scene, and I bring this up because today is the anniversary of when Heartbreak Hotel went to number one, Elvis. Mm. So anyway, one of the funniest scenes in this movie is when the band, which is called Spinal Tap, goes down to Graceland and stands graveside and pays this homage.
Well, since my baby left me, I've found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that Heartbreak Hotel.
Do it with the harmony parts.
Right. Well, since my baby... The same key, though, I think. Well, since my baby left me...
If I'm going... Since my baby left me... Me...
No, you can't hit that note. Mm.
Since my baby left me...
Well, I found a new place to dwell. That's all right. Well, it sounds raga. You don't want to go raga. No, not in this, it don't. It does. Since my baby left me. Well, hey, barbershop raga. Watch the language. And you, Heartbreak. Sorry. Oh, this is thoroughly depressing. It really puts perspective on things, though, doesn't it? Not too much.
There's too much fucking perspective now.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that Heartbreak Hotel where I'll be. I'll be just a lonely baby. Well, I'm so lonely. I'll be just a lonely, I could die. Although it's always crowded, you still can find some room for broken-hearted lovers to cry there in the gloom. I'll be so, I'll be so lonely, baby. I'll be so lonely. I'll be so lonely when they could die. Man, the bellhop's tears keep flowing, the desk clerk's dressed in black. Well, they've been so long on Lonely Street, they'll never, never look back and think of something. Think you're so lonely, baby. Well, they're so lonely. Well, they're so lonely and they could die. Well, if your baby leaves you, you've got a tale to tell. Well, just take a walk down Lonely Street to Heartbreak Hotel, where you will be. You're so lonely, baby. Well, you'll be lonely. You'll be so lonely, you could die.
This was the day, what day was that? I was rocking out here. What day of the, they do their best. Elvis Presley had his first number one hit on this day in 1956. All right, there you go. Wow, what else happened today? Okay, the Red Baron shot down. Remember the Red Baron? He and I did not know each other. I was 1918 during World War One, and the big anniversary. We should all recall this. This is the day in 1989 when Tiananmen Square hit the world map. The thousands of Chinese crowded into Tiananmen Square in Beijing, students demanding greater political freedom. That happened in 1989. Yeah, all right. Tell you what, hang on, and we're gonna do some gardening here. We are. You ready? Yeah. Who else grows plants on the radio? Come on.
I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places.
So I've thought a lot about what I miss the most during this pandemic. And the thing that I miss the most is you.
I love playing to a live audience. There's nothing like it.
There's nothing like feeling the love that you guys give to us and we're trying to give to you. And I just can't wait to get back to that.
All these places that we stand in, the Ryman, Opry House, those places are just places if you don't put the people in them.
The COVID-19 vaccines are going to help us all get back to the moments we miss.
It's totally normal to have questions. I did too. That's why it's so important to get informed.
There's a lot of talk out there about the vaccines. So ask your doctor and get the facts.
I'll be seeing you.
It's up to you.
Hey, man, you seen a bear go by here?
A bear?
Yeah, man, he had on a Ranger's hat.
A bear with a Ranger's hat? Ah, come on, man.
Yeah, man, he had a shovel in his hand, too.
Oh, did he have a picnic basket, too?
No, man, not that bear. You know, like the bear that checks out the forest, man.
Well, what's he checking out, man?
Well, like he's checking out for careless people, man, who start fires in the forest.
Well, that sounds real heavy, man.
Hey, well, it is. You know, like every year some dude forgets to put out his campfire and a match or a cigarette or something else, you know, and like thousands of acres go up in smoke.
Up in smoke, man?
That's right. Yeah, smoke. Like in fire that could burn up this place.
Yeah?
Yeah, and that's why the bear, he says, only you can prevent forest fires.
Hey, I know that bear, man. What's his name again?
Smokey Bear.
Well, why do you need him for, man?
Because I need a ride back to the city.
A public service of the Forest Service, USDA, your state foresters, and the Ad Council.
It's 32 after the hour, 28 before the hour here in Chicago Pirate Radio from Chicago. It's a little bit like old home week sometimes. Mike Novak joins us. Mike is a fellow I've actually talked to on the radio for like a long time. He's the host of the Mike Novak Show, and that's spelled N-O-W-A-K. And I just pulled up his website, which is cool. It's MikeNovak.net, and he joins us here. First time we've talked in many, many years. Mike, hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing really well.
Before we start, though, I need to do a shout-out to Nana, okay? I want to make sure Nana's awake and listening to the show. Right. And she's don't fall asleep if we start talking about gardening here, okay?
Stay
with us.
You are the most exciting gardener I know, so I believe we're going to electrify everyone.
I also have a correction.
Yeah.
I know you were trying to answer the Jeopardy question for 200, she's celebrating a 95th birthday today. Who is Queen Elizabeth II? You said 96. Oh, so sorry. That's not the answer we were looking for.
Did I blow it? Hang on.
I think you did.
I don't do my own research here.
Somebody did it for you? I'm pretty sure it's 95 today.
Wow. Well, you want to call him up right now and straighten this out? I've got an international dialing code. Let's call over there and we'll.
We should just talk to the Queen and say, now's not a good time.
All right.
It's been a rough week.
All right, maybe later though.
Yeah, I think so.
So
okay.
You're like you and I are like opposites. You grow and or do it successfully and professionally, and I just can't grow anything, Mike. I can't. I have a beard. I guess would be it. I talked to you briefly yesterday, and
What are you talking about successfully here? What?
Well,
gardening or radio or streaming or whatever we do nowadays, because you know we've made that transition, whatever it is, and as I said yesterday, you and I need to have a former Gargantuan Radio support group.
I'll bring the dead plants.
That's kind of, you know, it's kind of a fetish on your part. That, you know, you pride yourself on killing plants, and I could get you to keep them alive.
All right.
Very little problem at all.
Well, let's start there. What do you think I'm doing wrong? What do people, when people come, what is the opposite of a green thumb, a black hand or something? When they come to you and say, geez, I can't seem to make it work. What are they most likely dealing with?
Well, if it's indoor plants, they're most likely overwatering. There's two ways you can go with an indoor plant, which is you never water at all, and of course that's going to kill a plant. So people say, well, I can't let that happen, so what I'll do is I'm just going to make sure this plant, because what does a plant want? A plant wants to swim most of the time. No, that's not true either. And so they kill the plant with kindness.
Right.
And what people do with their indoor plants is they operate on caring for them on their schedules, not the plant's schedule.
All right.
And they fail to take into account that even indoors, a plant has seasons the same as it does outdoors, which means that the temperatures vary. The light certainly varies, unless you have it under a grow light 24/7, you know, 365 days a year. Mm-hmm. You put a plant in a window, in winter it's getting a lot less light. And when a plant gets a lot less light in the winter, what does that mean? Well, the metabolism slows down. It can't process, it can't photosynthesize, it can't transpire as much, and transpire means allow the moisture in the leaves to go into the air.
When
that happens...
Go ahead.
Yes, go. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you mentioned plant metabolisms, which I didn't put two and two together that was even a thing. But recently, you may have seen this, there's a company that has a... they put some sort of an electrode into a plant. It's kind of like the Venus flytrap idea. And do you know what I'm talking about? So that
I didn't hear this particular story, but there are a lot of them about the physiology of plants, and you know, are they sentient? What can you know? Can you sing to a plant? Yeah. Can you talk to a plant?
Do you?
They don't talk back.
Do you sing or talk?
No. I just try to be a good neighbor in my own home. So I try not to hurt them, and then I get out of their way.
22 before the hour here. This is Mike.
I love that part too. I got to tell you.
Yeah.
I got to tell you. I'm sorry. I'm going to keep interrupting you
because that's
my own radio background.
We have nothing to kill but time on this show. Go ahead.
We went in slightly different directions here. You went from radio into internet radio, and I went into internet streaming, and so. Which is more of a podcast and streaming on the various, and I've got video on my program as well, so I'm not doing time checks like you are, and you know, somebody listening to your show actually knows what time of the day it is. I don't do that because if somebody listens to my show 3 hours later, it's just going to throw them off.
Yeah.
It's so interesting the different skills you have to bring to the table when you strike out on your own, and you've got a real studio there at home, which is really cool, and I'm very jealous of you because you know you're bringing in phone calls and you probably do you have to do your sound effects and your music, you like punch a button, do you have one of those, what do they call the
I have a do we really want to get inside baseball, I have a software called Soundbite. It's a virtual cart machine.
Yeah, that's what I would love to get one of those. I need to set one of those up.
Well, we can make that work. speaking of your podcast, which and folks can go, not if you're driving, but it's Mike Novak, and that's with a W, Mike Novak.net, and you'll find.
And I'm so impressed. I'm so impressed that you pronounce it correctly.
You know, we worked for years at WGN together. Neither the station, nor the listeners, nor the air staff could ever pronounce
it. Never get it right. Right. You got it. I can't tell you how many people mispronounce my name. Yeah. You know who always got it right? Was Chuck Swirsky. Honest to goodness.
I believe.
I don't know why, but he was paying attention, and he always got it right.
All right. I have questions for you.
Okay.
Sparks, our producer, cop, she said it was her bad on the Queen's birthday. Something with the time zone. I believe that.
I do too.
I do.
I'm offering forgiveness here. You have a makeup.
Yeah.
You can go for it.
All right. She wants to know, what are some good bugs versus bad bugs, like bad pests for gardens?
Oh, that's really a great question. Nobody ever puts it quite that way. But the one thing I will say about that is the problem is the bad bugs get all the press. And if you look at the actual numbers, and, you know, this is not exactly scientific, but basically the bad bugs are in the realm of maybe 5% of the bugs out there. And when I say bugs, it's a very generic term because it's not just insects. Because a worm is not an insect, a spider is not an insect, a slug is not an insect. So when I say bugs, I mean all of the above, insects and mollusks and worms and whatever else we have out there. And as it turns out, that people pay attention to the ones that do the most damage, and they fail to realize that most of the bugs out there are benign or beneficial. So there's this philosophy of new gardeners and not-so-informed gardeners, I would say, that any bug is a bad bug.
Yeah.
And the response to it is that you got to kill it. And in fact, an entomologist, when I was studying to be a master gardener, was teaching the class, a great guy, Fred Miller, at Joliet Junior College. And he said gardeners generally ask, two questions. What is it, and how do I kill it? And they usually skip the first question. And that tells you a lot about people's relationship to bugs, which, again, includes insects.
Do you
which is they don't even care what it is before they try to kill it.
Do you use insecticides yourself?
No.
No, okay.
No.
Hey,
I don't even use the organic ones, really. I mean, I could.
Yeah.
I generally let the plant resolve the problem itself, or I'll take a physical means. You know, for instance, aphids.
Right.
That's a tiny little bug that it attaches itself to a plant and starts sucking the juices out of it, basically.
Right.
And you'll get thousands of them. On a plant, you can get a plant that's covered in aphids, and it's kind of a common problem. You can do something about it, and basically the thing you can do about it is get a hose and spray them off, because once they're knocked to the ground, they can't get back up there. But I would not advise using any chemicals on it. And basically what I do generally is say, oh, the plant's got aphids. Okay, they'll be gone in a couple of weeks probably, and then you move on.
Especially if you
got ladybugs there, because they're one of the beneficials. They're one of the good guys, and they're the insect that will eat aphids.
Okay, that I did not know. Hey, Mike is you just mentioned this, and I forgot. I should have led with this. You're a master gardener, which is quite a distinction. Run that by me quickly, could you?
You know what? I don't know if it's that big a distinction. It is important. It's great to have people study it, and it's basically a... I forget if it's an 8 or 10 week course now. I became a master gardener 20 years ago.
Yeah.
There are master gardeners in all 50 states. And you learn usually from the land grant college of the state. In this case, University of Illinois certifies some master gardeners. And there are master gardeners in Cook County, and there are master gardeners in various counties around the state. Not every single county. They've had to do some consolidation in the last few years, obviously financial considerations. And you study entomology, and you study plant biology, and you study soil, and you study plant species for about 10 weeks, and it's several hours once a week, and then you have to do 60 hours of community service, plant-based, of course, not other things, and they award you your certificate, and then like a doctor or a lawyer, each year you have to do a certain number of hours of education plus a certain number of hours of volunteer work to maintain your master gardener status.
You're blowing my mind. What a lot of information you must have absorbed there. I was going to ask you about community gardens, and particularly in food deserts. You and I are, you're not too far from, we don't like to locate people, but you're in Logan Square, which is a neighborhood in Chicago, and we're not so far away from there. But there are lots of community gardens that I see popping up. Are you involved with some of those?
Well, I was. You know, it's kind of interesting. There's a community garden, Sawyer and Altgeld, in that, I don't know if you saw an article in Block Club just yesterday, that they're going to lose that community garden because the guy who owns the lot, who's allowed them to garden on it for 13 years, has decided to sell the property and move to Florida, and he's going to make $900,000 on the property.
Oh, man.
It's just unbelievable. So they were trying to do a little fundraising to see if they could keep the garden, and so far they've raised $8,000. Well, that's just not going to cut it. And that's a shame, and that's one of the problems with community gardening is that we had one on my block that we started in 2011, and it was a wonderful garden, and it was also on a property. We got permission from the owner, and then he sold it in 5 years. So we had a garden for 5 years, and now there's two pretty ugly homes on it, really overpriced ugly homes. And that's the way those things work, unfortunately, unless you can find a group like NeighborSpace, which is, and I think it's neighborspace.org, if I'm not mistaken, where they help communities find spaces that are owned by the city so that they can hold on to them for longer than 5 years or 13 years. And that's usually the way that a lot of community gardens can succeed, because most community gardens are not that well organized, and they certainly don't have money to buy property.
Right. We're talking to Mike Novak here. Boy, the time is flying here. I wanted to ask you about people that, Sparks asked me, when's it appropriate to burn your, to burn your lawn down? When, she says, why might one want to burn their grass or soil before planting something else?
You're not gonna burn your lawn.
No.
All right. Yeah, I know what you're talking
Not intentionally.
No, exactly. You might want to rip it out.
Right.
I mean, that's been my motto about lawns for the 24 years that I've been doing this, talking about gardening on the radio and on the internet. Is my favorite slogan is in regarding lawns, when in doubt, rip it out. And that's because there are so many other things you can grow. We are lawn obsessed in this country. It's kind of time we got past that and moved on to other things. The problem is, as you might have heard, in Chicago, you can get fined for growing native plants in your yard.
Well, we could go. I did know that, Mike, and I was going to mention, I have a couple of neighbors that have done some beautiful stuff. This is for folks outside the Midwest. We used to be what's called prairie here, and there are so many like native prairie plants, and I've got a couple of neighbors that did a beautiful job, you know, in lieu of their lawn, and they do get in trouble. So we got to, why don't you run for something?
You know what? I have so many skeletons in my past, that would not work. I mean, you know, you know too, if you've worked in radio, if you worked in showbiz, there's no way. Well, I guess you could do it. Ronald Reagan did, and some other folks.
That's right.
I guess Megan, Matthew McConaughey is thinking about running for governor of Texas. So,
is that right? All right. Geez, we got a lot going on here. You know what? We're going to have to do this again, I hope. Mike is...
I'd love to come back and we can do specific things.
Please.
Let's talk about, vegetable gardening or, with lawns and prescribed burns, you don't do that with a lawn. And in the city, it's not, just to get this out so people don't get crazy, is if you're going to do a prescribed burn, check with your municipality, see what the laws are. Don't do it on a windy day. Make sure you know what the heck you're doing, because you might set the whole neighborhood on fire.
That's right. Good advice. This is Mike Novak. It's M-I-K-E, obviously. Mike Novak, NOWAK.net is his website. A really outstanding website. You'll find out about his podcasts. You'll get his gardening tips. You'll see a picture of him, and it's good stuff here.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, absolutely. Go on.
Plug for myself.
Sure.
We're live on Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 a.m.
Okay.
So you can watch a streaming live video and audio on Sunday mornings, and then, of course, the podcast and the videos stay up there. And I have to tell you, it almost kills me doing 2 hours a week once a week. I don't know how you do it every day right now.
I can't even think of a good joke there. It has to do with plants. I'm pretty sure. Plug the Sunday morning. It's live when?
It's live 9 to 11 a.m. at MikeNovak.net.
Okay, That's Central Time.
Right, Central Time. And we stream live on Facebook, right, on Twitter, which is Periscope. That's the Twitter app.
Right.
And YouTube, and, of course, on my website.
All right, very good. I'll tune that in. Really nice to connect with you. Well, let's do it again soon. I got a whole bunch of stuff here. Mike Novak from the Mike.
Talk Like a Pirate. You must go crazy on Talk Like a Pirate Day, International Talk Like a Pirate Day.
I got to look that up. Somebody mentioned that the other day.
Oh my gosh! You don't know about
I do know about it. I just don't remember what day it is. Do you know offhand?
I think it's September 18th or 19th, something like that.
Arg. In fact, we'll bring. Let's go out with the ship here. I got to bring the ship in here.
Okay. Are you gonna make me walk the plank?
Yeah.
No, Captain. No.
Mike. Thanks a million. Thanks a million.
I'll talk to you soon.
See you, man. Mike Novak.
Bye.
Mike remembers this one from the old days, I'm pretty sure. From 1971, remember that? That became I know it's a commercial. That became a hit record. It did. It charted for a while. Mike would know that. Listen, God willing and the creek don't rise, Mike and I'll will have some time together on the show. He'll be back, and we'll talk gardening with him. So I got a whole bunch of questions and stuff people send in. He'll be on again. It's Mike Novak, MikeNovak.net. All right. You know, we had such a busy yesterday that we managed to miss George Takei's birthday. George Takei, you know George Takei? I had the honor of interviewing George Takei many years ago. And I reached out to him the other day. I don't know if we could get him on. That would be a cool thing. George Takei, of course, played Sulu on Star Trek. And he had a birthday yesterday. He is 84. 84 and going strong. You remember when, remember on Star Trek, he had that plot line where he was captain for a while?
Captain, am I correct in assuming that you have decided to embark on a rescue mission?
That's right. Do you have a problem with that, Ensign?
I do. It is a direct violation of our orders from Starfleet Command, and it could precipitate an armed conflict between the Klingon Empire and the Federation.
Objection noted. Resume your station.
Sir, as a Starfleet officer, it is my duty to formally protest.
Tuvok.
A pretty bold statement for an ensign, with only 2 months space duty under his belt.
I am aware of my limited experience, but I am also very much aware of Starfleet regulations and my obligation to carry them out.
That's enough. Ensign, you're relieved. I'm sorry about this, Captain. I assure you it will not happen again.
Ensign, you're absolutely right. But you're also absolutely wrong. You'll find that more happens at the bridge of a starship than just carrying out orders and observing regulations. There's a sense of loyalty to the men and women you serve with. A sense of family. Those two men on trial, I served with them for a long time. I owe them my life, a dozen times over, and right now they're in trouble, and I'm going to help them. Let the regulations be damned.
Sir, that is the most illogical line of reasoning.
You better believe it.
The deepest voice I've ever talked to, the windows rattle, George Takei. Happy birthday. This white cast produced in Chicago by Natasha Rodriguez. See you tomorrow.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. Much more than I ever knew, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.